Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Oak Ridge Cabinets, Northern California's full-service manufacturer of custom cabinets since 1981. Oak Ridge Cabinets offers cabinet design and manufacturing for your home or office at 11128 Midway in Durham. More information is available by calling 893-8774 and at oakridgecabinets.com. This is 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century. My name is Brian Anthony Phoenix, and I'm here with Desiree Susan. Say hi, Desiree.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah. And if you don't know what Love in the 21st Century is, I'll tell you right now what it is. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to practical look of love. From romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training, and so much more. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Desiree. We are continuing our talk on healing modalities that that make way for love. And this is really Desiree's ship to drive today, so I'm going to pass it over to her.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Honestly, this is probably my most exciting show I've done so far. It's probably my most passionate topic. I mean, in terms of love, I mean, love is one of my favorite things to talk about, obviously. But healing and paving your way to even better relationships and better relationship with yourself and having better interactions in the world and just being like, how can I go about being my highest self and how can I thrive instead of just living and how can I go about just really engaging in my life and make every day better and other people have their fullest potential. I know that sounds hippy dippy, but this is like my passion and I love it. And I feel like it's my calling to bring this about in the world and talk about because healing through non-traditional practices is probably the thing that has changed my life the most. Mm-hmm. I have personally experienced many different types of healing, and that's something I was going to start the show out with talking about are the different types of healing there are. Like, you know, psychotherapy, you can sit and like go to a counselor and talk and rehash your past and your talk for hours about your traumas and be like, well, he did this and blah, blah, blah. And for me personally, I wasn't sure I was ever going to heal because it seemed to make things worse. Mm. It seemed to re-trigger the things that I didn't want to be, you know, that I wanted to heal from. It seemed like, oh, I'm reliving this, and I'd walk out of my counselor's office feeling even worse, and for 2 days I'd be completely out of it. So I actually was scared of counseling and scared of the healing process that included. So for me, finding the other healing modalities such as dance therapy and life coaching and energy healing really changed me. and actually gave me something to look forward to and made me full of hope. So like the dance therapy is really nice because you get some movement and you're able to engage in your body and connect in with your feelings of what's going on with your emotions and releasing some of those emotions at the same time. And especially if you have like a guided coach that's dance, like doing guided coaching as you're dancing, such as Jossie does. I think she was on your show last week. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like a guided dance lesson where you're like able to let go of some of those, you know, emotions you're locking, that are locked in your body and stored in your DNA, can really help. Life coaching also is something I've done and I found to be very beneficial. I had a couple of really, really life-changing life coaches. Emily Rose being one of them.
Nice.
Hi, Emily, if you're listening.
Hey, Emily, what up?
She's out in Austin now. But I also have had some very, very amazing coaching from Florence Landau, Florence Miller, actually now. Hi, Flo. I love you. She really, really opened my eyes to the power of rewiring your brain. You know, she said, you know, it's natural and normal for you to have the types of thinking you're having because everyone has trauma in them and it's stored in their DNA whether they realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're unable to unlock and engage in that subconscious world and really start to rewire and go, okay, where is that thought coming from? Is it even my own? No, it's not. Well, as soon as you can quickly engage in realizing and becoming aware that it's not something you want in you, then you turn it around and you go, five affirmations to like rewire this one negative thought or one negative pattern, and you start to make that rewiring a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you can really start to develop physical changes and habits in your life.
Absolutely.
So that life coaching really, really changed my life in a huge way. But two things that I am really, really passionate about, which I'm sure you are too.
I can see it. Yeah,
I know you are. The things that really have honestly been the most crucial healing for me have been sound healing and Reiki.
Hmm.
And I tried to go, well, why are those two things the most potent for me? Why would they be? How could that be? And I came up with my answer.
Hmm.
I believe it's because I didn't get to choose what healed. I had to sit there with what was and what healed, and what came out of me was just what it was.
Hmm.
The subconscious had no choice to be healed or not. It was healed.
Nice.
And so what I think is when you engage in counseling or life coaching and all these other things, not to say they're not effective, but it's you deciding what you're going to talk about and what's going to get healed.
Right.
Whatever you're ready to heal is what's healed.
Mm.
Whereas when you lay on the floor or lay on a, you know, whatever massage bed and you get sound healing done, it's whatever comes up out of your body.
Right.
And again, in Reiki, whatever is affected and healed from the Reiki person is what is. It's mm-hmm. not you going, well, let's pick and choose what gets healed. And I think that's where it's the most potent.
Absolutely. Wow. That is incredible. And you said some phenomenal things there. I'm taking notes because I want to respond to this when you say some things to me.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just what I came up with when I was trying to navigate through the show, is that my own personal experience came up with that because I was like, well, I felt really good after all these other things, but I have felt the most instrumentally changed from sound healing and Reiki. And I was like, well, what do those two things have in common?
Mm.
The fact that I didn't choose what was healed.
Mm.
And I can't even tell you, just through one session with you and one session with Elizabeth, who is going to be on in a few minutes,
mm-hmm.
has done for me. And it's just insane. So with that being said, I'm really, really thrilled to be able to interview our own Brian Anthony tonight. And I'm going to be interviewing him not just as our host here, but as our as a sound healing practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going to be having a woman who's a Reiki master, Elizabeth Martin. She's about to come into
nice.
The studio.
Speak of the angel.
Yeah,
she walks right in the door.
There she is.
Awesome. Go ahead and have a seat.
Nothing short of amazing. And so we're going to have the opportunity to interview her right now. And I'm going to be asking her some questions about her practice and her practicing of Reiki and how it's been a part of her life. So welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. Oh, yeah. Let me get your mic on. That would probably help. Let's see. Okay.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Hi.
Cool.
So it's so nice to have you in the studio. Would you introduce yourself?
Yeah. So my name's Elizabeth Martin. I went to high school in Chico, and then I moved away, and now I'm back, and I'm glad to be back.
Cool. Yeah. So if you don't mind me asking, how long have you been practicing Reiki?
I've been practicing Reiki since 2015.
Okay. And how did you discover it? I mean, how did it like fall in your life or come into your life?
Well, it actually came into my life at the perfect point, as it usually does for people. I was going through a divorce at the time, and so I was just a wreck, as you can imagine, I'm sure. But so a friend of mine who was a photographer, actually, this older gentleman who I'd known off and on for years, kind of reached out to me and he said, you know, I'd really like to give you some Reiki. And I said, okay, I don't know what that is, but okay, whatever help comes my way right now. Mm-hmm. And he was so sweet, and he explained Reiki to me, and he gave me my first session, and I just fell in love with it. It totally changed my energy and kind of how I was dealing with things. And it just brought a real calmness and clarity to my situation, and it really helped me so much to get through that whole time. So that was my introduction to Reiki. It was kind of like being thrown in the ocean and learning how to swim, you know? And so he invited me to take his classes, and I went through Reiki 1, Reiki 2, and then master training with him. And it's been a really positive, beautiful thing in my life, so...
How long did it take you to go through that process? Like how long does it take on average to become from like Reiki 1 to master?
I mean, it really depends. It depends on the teacher and it depends on the student too. He actually ended up putting me through fairly quickly, and he said that he normally wouldn't do it that fast, but that I kind of took right to it. So it depends on the people, you know.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Is it like the number of hours you do it, or...
It's the number of hours, and also, I think it helped that I've been doing energy work since I was a little kid, really. You know, I just didn't have a name for it, you know what I mean?
Oh.
And it was nothing I did super consciously, but looking back, I'm like, wow, I kind of have been doing some form of this, like, my whole life, really. So I think that, anyone can learn Reiki, absolutely, but it's, you know, some people are... really good swimmers, and some people are really good musicians just naturally. And so I think, you know, not that I'm amazing or anything, but I think it's just something that came to me pretty naturally, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you do have to have, you know, so many hours put in, especially when you're doing the Reiki master training, because that's a lot of just work with people, you know, and experience, and just kind of getting your feet wet with all kinds of different types of people and situations. And
So how is it different from, do you practice on people at level one and go up from there? Do you change different things you do from Reiki one to Reiki master?
Yes, absolutely. Because the more there are symbols and positions kind of that you, hand positions and certain symbols that you learn as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Reiki one, you learn a handful of those, and with Reiki 2 you add on to that, and by Reiki master you learn all of them, and so you're kind of deepening your understanding and experience as you go. So you do want to do it in levels like that.
Okay. And I remember you telling me when, so I've seen you personally, which was amazing.
Oh, thank you. By the way,
I was just called to like have you on the show as soon as I had experienced you firsthand. Whoa, this is awesome. So just for those listening out there, I feel like, it just was really apparent to me that somebody could quickly get into a better spot within themselves and within their relationships from something like Reiki. How do you feel that Reiki practice like creates a better dynamic for people for better relationships and love?
Oh my gosh. Ah, where to even begin?
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of a huge question, but it absolutely makes a difference. First of all, I mean, to have a relationship with anybody else, you have to have a relationship with yourself, you know, and to kind of understand how you operate, what your triggers are, and what, you know, how you give and receive love and things like that. So Reiki is a wonderful way to kind of calm yourself down. It's very clarifying, at least in my experience and the experience of people that I've given Reiki to. It can be a very clarifying thing and grounding thing. And so when you're grounded, it brings you into the present, you know, so you're not letting the past rule you, and you're not so concerned about the future that you can't actually move forward. So Reiki is a very grounding practice, a very healing practice, and it's also very clarifying. Just clearing your thoughts, you know, and clearing your heart energy mm-hmm. is huge for your own relationship with yourself and for your relationship with anybody else, whether it's a romantic relationship or a parent-child relationship or siblings or even coworkers, you know. I mean, any kind of relationship where you're dealing with other people and other people's energies and your own energies and how those energies interact, you know, because it's all different, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So Reiki is a great way to kind of bring balance to yourself. And when you're balanced, you're better able to see other people and to hear other people and to have empathy and compassion for other people also. I feel like it really kind of opens that up, you know, and compassion for yourself. I mean, I think that a lot of people that have issues with relationships, a lot of it stems in their own selves, you know, and having mm-hmm. to work through that first is absolutely key mm-hmm. To healing any other kind of relationships you might have. So Reiki is a wonderful first step. And there are so many healing forms.
Right. Yeah, I was talking about that before you came in. Yeah. And one thing that I have noticed, and I've only had one session, which I definitely want more.
Oh, good.
But within that one session, I was able to experience something that it felt like I cleared a lot of energies out of me that weren't even my own.
Mm.
Like, I feel very empathic, and the more other people's energies I take on, I just kind of feel like sometimes I'll react to situations or feel of something that I don't even know where it's coming from because I don't feel like it's my own thought or my own perception or something that even feels like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can tell you from that I walked out of your you know, facility, whatever you call it, your room, just feeling, like you said, this calmness, but I felt like I didn't have anxiety. I've been feeling so clear and able to like handle people and handle their responses and not just reacting to them.
Right.
I feel like my gut doesn't hurt so much. Like I don't feel as, I guess, anxious. I guess that's what it is.
I think stress and anxiety are very prevalent. You know, I mean, most of us experience that on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that. That makes me happy. I think empathetic people, you know, I am too. And actually, my 8-year-old stepdaughter is kind of dealing with this right now, and it's interesting having to kind of work through this with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it does kind of come out of nowhere. Like, where is this feeling coming from? This isn't my sadness or my anger or my anxiety. You know, what? I have no reason to feel these things, but I feel it, you know? And I think that, it's a thing that a lot of us actually have to cope with on a fairly regular basis. And, you know, we hold on to those things. I'm not sure why exactly. I think the reasons vary, but part of it is probably trying to figure out what's going on, you know? It's like, what is this? And where is this coming from? And I don't think it's me. And why, you know, mm-hmm. But we pick up feelings and energies from other people. And that's actually something I wanted to touch on today anyway, is the interconnectedness of everybody, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Whether you believe it or not, like, we are all connected, you
hugely.
Know?
Hugely.
And
yes.
So we do feel each other, you know? When mm-hmm. if you walk into a room and you're sad, people are going to feel that and they're going to react to that. Or if you're angry or if you're super excited, you know? Like if you're super joyful, people react to that too, you know? And so we feel each other and we take on each other's emotions and feelings sometimes, especially empathetic people like yourself. And so, yeah, we hold on to those things And they become kind of intertwined with our own feelings and our own thoughts, and it's hard to separate those, you know, and figure out what's mine, what's somebody else's, and how to let go of that is a question I'm kind of trying to figure out with this my 8-year-old stepdaughter right now, because she's very empathetic, and, you know, mm-hmm. she'll come home from school and be a weeping mess, and I'm like, what happened, you know? She's like, I don't know, you know? So yeah. So we've been doing a lot of visualization and just trying to figure it out, you know, like, how do you let those things go, and how do you recognize to begin with that it's not yours? And Reiki, like you said, is really good for clearing that out, and it's kind of like a beautiful little reset button, you know? Like, mm-hmm. okay, clean slate, like, I'm feeling good, you know? And it's a great way to kind of shed some of those feelings and thoughts that aren't yours and you don't want, you know?
Yeah.
And so things like meditation, yoga, any kind of energy work really is really good for letting go of things like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I think that like dates back to even like the ancient like times when people would mm-hmm. use these ceremonies, like rituals with sage and, you know, clearing energies, crystals.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Salt.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like an old thing that people have tried to clear those energies out, you know, of rooms and spirits and things like that. And in fact, like they say, like our DNA holds on to memories of trauma and things like that. And
absolutely.
I think that's why it's so huge, especially if you're going to have children or, you know, haven't had them yet and you're considering that. I think that's one huge thing is that our DNA passes trauma on through our traumas get passed on through DNA, so our children can even be born with thinking that a trauma has occurred to them that hasn't occurred.
No, I absolutely actually agree with that. I've given birth 3 times,
yeah.
And every pregnancy was very different, and every time the child that resulted from that absolutely had the personality that I felt in there the whole time. You know, and so the things that I was experiencing while I was pregnant, I really do feel like it does affect the babies, you know? And so, yeah, I have given Reiki to one person that was pregnant, and it was amazing.
Really?
It was amazing. And then also, while I was pregnant, I gave Reiki mm-hmm. to some people, and giving Reiki while pregnant was an interesting experience, too,
yeah.
You know? Cause, so as a Reiki practitioner, it actually balances me out, too, to give it.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
I feel very different after I give Reiki during a session. You know, I feel grounded and calm and lovely, you know? And so, I mean, it's a thing that's very beneficial for everyone involved.
Cool. And yeah. So do you still go to Reiki, as personally?
You know, I haven't found other Reiki people here. I know they're here. I need to connect with them. But my dear friend and wonderful teacher up in Montana, actually, anytime I go visit, we exchange Reiki, and it's just fantastic. I love him so much.
Oh, okay.
So his name is Neil Chaput de Santange. And if anybody ever goes to Missoula, Montana, I highly recommend looking him up and getting a Reiki session from him. He's just such a sweet soul.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And so I also remember when I was seeing you that you said that you practice traditional Reiki. How does that differ from other types of Reiki?
Well,
I
say traditional somewhat loosely.
Yeah.
So I practice Usui Reiki, and that was brought over to the Western world in the 30s. So it's been actually in America and in our Western culture actually for quite some time. So Usui, Mikao Usui is a Japanese gentleman, and he was a spiritual seeker, you know. He'd done Qigong and things like that in his youth, but he felt like there was more and that he needed to really find his calling, so to speak. So he went up to meditate on a mountain, and while he was up there during this 21-day kind of spiritual journey of his, he rediscovered Reiki. Now, the term Reiki was actually in use in Japan already.
Oh.
So Reiki, if you break it down, just means life force energy. Okay. And that's really what it means. And so, I mean, Reiki itself is not at all a new concept.
Right. It's kind of like Tai Chi in a way.
Yeah. I mean, it's been around since people, you know, really. But so Usui, though, kind of rediscovered it, so to speak, and codified it a little bit and kind of gave it more of a structure. And so then his students brought it over to the U.S. and other Western cultures. And then from there, there have been, oh my gosh, at this point, there are so many different kinds of Reiki. Some of the more well-known ones are, let's see, I have notes. We've got Karuna Reiki. Karuna essentially means compassion. Uh-huh. So it's kind of it was developed by William Lee Rand. And that's, in a nutshell, it's a form of Reiki that's used to alleviate the suffering of others through this idea of universal compassion. And you've got things like Rainbow Reiki, which was developed in the 80s and 90s by Walter Lübeck. And it was based on Usui's teachings, as was brought over by his student, Hawaio Takata. And techniques associated with that kind of Reiki are things like karma clearing, chakra work, assistance with the higher self and the inner child, that kind of work. Yeah. Kundalini Reiki is another one that you're probably have heard of. Mm-hmm. And that one focuses on raising the healing energy through the root chakra as opposed to the crown chakra, which is more of an Usui thing. And you'll find that often in conjunction with the practice of yoga. And that helps to clear blockages in the chakras. And that was developed by Ole Gabrielsen. So Usui Reiki is considered traditional only because that kind of is where a lot of these other branches have stemmed from.
Right.
But it's by no means the most pure or the best kind. You know, there are so many different forms of Reiki, and really it's all just healing energy, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no right way to do it or wrong way. It's just, you know, it's all good. It's all healing.
So, as they say, our students are our teachers. And so I guess in my last question to you would be, how do you, or what have you learned, a lesson or two you've learned from practicing Reiki on your clients?
I've learned that there's always more to learn. But it's true, you know, every time I give a session, it's different. And the correlations you feel and see are different and amazing and incredible. And one of the biggest lessons I think I've learned through giving Reiki and also receiving Reiki is just that this understanding that everyone, even people you might not like or get along with, have a journey. Like, everybody has a journey of their own and things to learn and ways in which they need to grow. And the more we understand that and kind of have compassion for that, the better it's going to be for everyone, you know? Mm. And I mean, you know, there are going to be those people that you just don't really want to be around, and that's fine. You know, I think boundaries can be healthy. But even if you don't like someone, having an understanding that they too are learning and growing and are a person with feelings is huge, you know? And so, I mean, right now, even it's really good for me to practice Reiki because it makes me more connected, you know, and just to have that empathy for people that I might not necessarily want to have empathy for, which sounds awful, but you know, I'm a human being too.
Right.
And so, you know, it's making me a lot more understanding and open-minded and less judgmental.
Okay.
You know, and I think that's a big lesson for a lot of people, but especially me, you know, and I can own that. But just, you know, that we all have our own walk to walk, and we're going to fall sometimes, and we need help sometimes, and everyone, you know, we all bleed if we trip and cut ourselves in a rock. And so, like, you know, even those people that it's hard for you to kind of love, like, you know, you still kind of have to find that space for them, you know.
Absolutely.
I think that's probably been the biggest lesson for me, is just to find that compassion, you know, even when it doesn't necessarily come naturally to me to do so. You know, but we're all connected. We're all part of the same thing. And, you know, the more that we have that kind of peace in ourselves and the more we can give that to others, I think the world's just going to be a better place, you know?
Absolutely.
And it starts with you.
Yeah.
It absolutely starts with you.
So in that, I guess, in healing one person, we're all being healed in a way.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like turn of energy.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Elizabeth. That was wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for chatting. Are you going to hang out with us while we transition?
Love to. You can.
You're more than welcome to continue with the conversation.
Okay. Absolutely.
So I think we're gonna do a little promo.
Yes.
And get to our second half
Absolutely.
Of the show.
Yep.
Awesome. So this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. You're listening to Love in the 21st Century. Hosted by Desiree Susan at the moment, primary captain of the ship, with myself, Brian Anthony Phoenix, and we have Elizabeth.
How are you saying?
It's Martin. Okay, yeah. Elizabeth Martin. And we will be right back after we play this Durst promo. See you soon.
See you.
Hey, guys. Will Durst here with a few choice words about our neo-Nazi president. Okay, maybe he's not a card-carrying member of the White Power Wing, but he definitely proved himself a sympathizer when he promoted false equivalency between the organized hate movement and people disgusted by them. He's calling them haters who hate hating. It's confusing. After a riot broke out during a Unite the Right march in Charlottesville, Virginia, there was, according to Trump, violence on many sides. On many sides. Yes, one-sided bats and clubs and body armor and shouted slogans denigrating Jews and blacks, and the other side dented those clubs and bats with their heads and body parts. One side drove a car into a crowd, and the other side failed to get out of the way, and then lay down blocking traffic, littering the street with their blood. Shocking. It's like declaring our allied forces were as guilty as the Nazis in World War II because they hated Nazis and fought them to defend freedom. Yeah, there are two sides to every story, except for the stories where one side is Nazis. After Trump's mealy-mouthed equivocation, KKK Imperial Lizard Stick, or whatever they call him, David Duke sent out a congratulatory tweet. You know, with friends like that, who needs enemas? Responding to calls for Trump to fire Steve Bannon, his alt-right advisor, president said, but he's not a racist, which we all know is a big red flag that means, yeah, he probably is a racist. Trump's plan to bridge the racial divide is to create more jobs, which makes as much sense as Gallagher's plan to combat teen pregnancy by smashing watermelons. Easy to understand why the president refuses to say there is no room in his administration for racists. Apparently, all the slots are full. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
All right, some wise words from Mr. Durst there.
Yeah.
And we are back at Love in the 21st Century here with Desiree Susan. Hi, Desiree.
Hi again.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
And Elizabeth Martin,
yes.
Who just interviewed. If you're just joining us, we just had a great interview conversation between Desiree and Elizabeth. And now...
Now it's time for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, normally we have Brian as one of our co-hosts here, and tonight we're going to do a little something special.
Sweet.
We are, I guess I am going to be interviewing him as a sound practitioner that he is.
I'm in the hot seat.
He is. So, for those of you who don't know, he actually, I think, well, I'll allow him to tell you. I won't tell you. I'll let him tell his own story. So, I guess, Brian... tell us about your sound healing, like how you discovered it and how long you've been practicing and whatnot.
Yeah, you know, you know, the little bits of information that lead up to that is that I've been a musician for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some time ago, probably like 11 years ago, I picked up a guitar and just started playing. Not too long after that, I just like kind of rediscovered my voice, which I later found out I had lost at an early age because it, like, I could sing well and then someone told me it wasn't cool and so I stopped doing it.
Oh,
you know,
so you had that blocked energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I actually, when I was in sixth grade, I could sing, I was in a chorus and I could sing higher notes than the girls could.
Mm-hmm.
And me and actually this other boy, Daniel, he was my friend at the time. We had contests to see who could sing higher and I won. Mm-hmm. And And then after we did that contest, someone told us that that wasn't so cool for boys to be able to do. And so I think both of us actually stopped singing at that point in time. So I didn't discover my voice until, you know, I picked up a guitar again and just like all of a sudden I'm like, it's there, you know? Mm-hmm. And I preface it by saying that because during my time starting to write songs, being creative, I started seeing the profound effect that music had on people. And already I was finding myself in kind of random situations where I would have like my guitar and I'd come across like, you know, someone on the street or someone at the college I was going to, or I'd see someone on the street, you know, like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm coming back to like my apartment and there's just someone sitting under a bridge, you know, and they just like look like they really needed a song. And so I'd sing a song for them and they'd cry and like, you know, there'd be this emotional release and exchange. And you know, I just found myself like randomly in those positions and mm-hmm. I was just like just realizing I was already kind of being like trained in some way. I mean, later on I realized this, you know?
Yeah.
And so finally I found myself working, you know, I went through a pretty crunchy time in my life and had issues with addiction and that kind of thing. And then when I got out of that, I was like trying to find myself and I was working at like a corporate sales job and one day I was just like, this isn't working for me. Like, I need to figure out, like, what's different? You know, what's going on?
Right.
And I really identified with what you said, Elizabeth, in regards to, you know, there's certain things that I realized, like, growing up and you know, within the same years that I picked up a guitar, I also started just kind of being aware of my intrinsic ability to feel people and even did some energy work with people just randomly. I just find myself doing it, you know, and I was just like, whoa, what is this, you know? And so when I was like really asking myself, okay, what's next? I was like, okay, I'm a musician. How can I do, like, what can I do to like make that so it's more of a healing tool? Like what's out there? And that's when I just, you know, just put that energy out there and sound healing kind of came up as like a thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So cool.
And not too far after I just started like thinking about it, this friend of mine sent me this book called The Tao of Sound, which was written by my, at that time, future instructor, Fabien Maman.
Who, really?
Yeah. And it's really profound. So Fabien Maman did this, this experiment where he, back in the early 1980s, he got a hold of a special camera called a Kirlian camera that was made famous by the Russians because it basically takes pictures of the electromagnetic field or aura around living tissue. And what he did is he played acoustic tones for living blood cells and photographed what happened to them. Wow. And they would have all these different responses according to the different tone and the different note. And his findings was that every pool of blood cells, depending on the person, would react most harmoniously, something called sympathetic resonance, with one particular frequency. So each person basically had their one like musical note that would make their blood cells just
cool.
Light up.
That is so rad.
If you ever heard of the experiment by Masaru Emoto. With the water crystals.
Yeah.
That Fabien Maman's work actually inspired him to do that. They knew each other.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And so anyways, I found that book and I read like, you know, several pages just into like the first chapter about the experiment. I was like, I have to talk to this guy. And that was kind of, you know, that's history. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll kind of spare the details of what happened in terms of my training, but essentially I went to the school that he started, which is called the Tomodo Academy of Sound, Color, and Movement.
In Switzerland?
Yes. Uh-huh. They are based out of Malibu, but they do their kind of condensed, like, immersive course over the couple weeks in Switzerland. So I did level one and level two two summers and got certified as a Tomodo practitioner. And that particular practice is based on Chinese medicine. And so we use tuning forks mm-hmm. in conjunction with the acupuncture meridians and energy systems.
Mm-hmm.
We use color to interact with the chakra systems and the energy field. We also use special essences as well because smell actually has its own energy vibration that helps clear the field. So since then, I've also been initiated into what I would consider more shamanic kind of practices regarding sound healing. So just the awareness of how to weave intention into auditory sound. So using things like drums or flute, and most importantly, voice, being able to bring through, that work specifically with auditory sound as well as the kind of more focused methods that I was trained in. So that's kind of my path in the training, and now I offer that as an individual and group service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's something else. That's even more than I realized. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's totally amazing. And that explains a lot as to why it's such a potent practice.
Absolutely.
Me. Because for me, again, with like both of your practices, I walked away just feeling like, whoa, just like a completely different vibration. And that's cool. That explains a lot. And so I guess in terms of telling the listeners, like, so in terms of what a typical session with you would look like, if somebody goes into you,
sure.
What could you walk us through a little bit of like a session?
Yeah, you know, what I've been doing kind of programs with people. You mm-hmm. find that's most efficient. If you wanted to do a one-time session with me, then typically I'm going to kind of choose because, you know, the Tomodo practice is kind of a standalone practice, and I might do some things at the beginning of a session to clear space with some sound, you know, flutes or the crystal bowls that I have, just to get relaxation going. But if I do like the Tomodo method, then what that would look like is I'd start by having you relaxed on a table. I'll do some singing, maybe some crystal bowls, some chanting just to set space, and maybe play the flute. And then the Tomodo session would be working with specific tuning forks on acupuncture points. And it's a really sweet kind of sensation, just because, you know, if you've ever had acupuncture, I mean, there's nothing poking you, but you're getting a similar kind of effect in a shorter amount of time. That's one of the things that sound does, is it activates, you know, it basically it's a, you know, like, the acupuncture needles are an antenna for chi to kind of flow into and open that meridian. And so sound kind of just like, hey, chi, like, we're getting you in here real quick, you know? So it's very clearing. It's very energizing. All those things together are really potent. So, you know, I'll either do, usually the sessions are going to be different, and I'm either going to work with just doing like the tuning forks and color. I have these special silks that we lay on the body that activate that. And then a session that's more about like the shamanic kind of channeled sound practice. I really enjoy those a lot, because what that looks like for me is I tune into the field that we both are sharing, as me as the practitioner and the person there, tap into our higher guidance, and I just, you know, allow the sound to come out of me and the instruments in whatever way feels best for that space.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely has some very profound experiences for both myself and the people receiving it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, in going with our theme for this month, I had a question for you regarding that. How do you feel that sound healing helps in regards to healing for more love and higher vibration in a person's life?
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to refer to my notes when you were talking, and also when Elizabeth was talking. I mean, you know, there's a guy named Edgar Cayce who was a really well-known channeler, and I mean, he made, you know, like thousands of verifiable predictions, and like, you know, he like cite like physical diagnosis with people that he then also gave remedies to, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he made this comment at some point in time that sound was the medicine of the future, you know? And that was back in, I think it was the 30s when he was alive doing his thing, somewhere around the same time that Reiki came over. And, you know, the thing is that, like, we are continuing to discover more and more about the energetic nature of the human body. And you had mentioned something earlier about storing that information in DNA. I mean, this is verifiable now. You know, if you look up, like, the work of someone by the name of Rupert Sheldrake, he talks about, like, the morphogenetic field. And that is, there's verifiable evidence that suggests that living organisms pass on information from generation to generation that can't be verified as being in the chemicals of, like, like the body or DNA. Like there is an energy structure that moves from life form to life form, is passed on with information. So, you know, it's fair enough to say that with our lineage of ancestry and from our parents and grandparents, that there's these traits and some things that are passed down to us. And you mentioned, you know, wounds.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. it's part of our whole human domestication process to basically be wounded, to be injured because of us wanting to do what we naturally do, which is be creative and express ourselves in a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point in time when we were young, we were told that that wasn't okay. And it's part of just being human. I mean, as best as our parent, any parents, and as best as any set of parents, I mean, even the set of parents that's like, you know, maybe is just totally left the modern world behind and they're living in the woods, you know, whatever, like, and they're doing their best they can to let them express, there's still going to be a part of being human that has to create boundaries and therefore, you know, kind of squashes the expression of love and creativity on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those, you know, some of those experiences are more traumatic than others, but I like what you said earlier, Elizabeth, because you were talking about how, you know, kind of like people just carrying around that information, right? You know, so it's like when we go through a traumatic experience, what happens is that if we can imagine like the creative life force of life just flowing through us when we're a child, like when we go through a traumatic situation, it puts like, it's like a clog in a drain, you know, it puts a piece of information that disallows that intelligent kind of vibration and energy to flow through us as easily. And so we put a story around it. We only let that out in certain instances and in certain scenarios. And so, yeah, so to answer your question now is that, so sound healing, just like Reiki, you know, I was getting this vision of both of those practices. Like sound basically is a vibration that goes into the being and creates space. Mm-hmm. And what you said earlier was incredibly profound about how, like, your mind at least is not choosing the healing that happens. Your body and your being and whatever that creative essence that's within you. I mean, all of us, whether you want to call it the soul, the spirit, whatever, we all have. Here, I'm gonna set you up with number two, if you want to slide that over. It's, yeah, it's yours. You know, all of us have this life force within us that wants to express itself. And, you know, basically sound goes in and creates space for the body to be able to like open that channel again. And so that creative information, that life force that we have deep within us that intrinsically knows how it heal itself, then comes through in, you know, in fullness or in more, you know, an empowered way, and then just does what it needs to do. You know, sound healing. So, and just, I'll just mention this because I'm going to run out of time if I keep rambling. So basically the one thing I will say is that, you know, sound healing activates the mechanism of something called entrainment. And that is, you know, we are as humans, we're walking balls of vibration, you know, like we're these vibrating beings. And those traumas that we were talking about carry energetic vibrational patterns within our field, within our body, within our energy field. And these are being measured. You know, look up a woman by the name of Eileen McKissick, who wrote a book called Tuning the Human Biofield.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she discovered that there's literally pockets of energy that are sitting around us that are like basically what are called discordant waves. So when we have trauma, we're storing this information energetically in this energy field around us, and we can measure it. Like, it's there. It's basically, if you can imagine wave patterns, like, you know, let's say it's light beams. And two light beams are passing past each other nice and harmoniously, and they create this kind of like vibration, but instead they're like crashing into each other, and this crashing into each other makes like causes a blockage, and we are unable to get that unstuck, but just by thinking it.
Right.
You know, so anyways, the entrainment piece is like sound creates what's called a coherent wave pattern, and basically that allows our body to be like, oh, I remember what that's like. I remember what it's like to vibrate like more harmoniously, like more naturally, more lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens, is that your body just starts to resettle itself and start recognizing again what it's like to actually be what it wants to be, which is a harmonious, you know, loving, expressive, creative human being.
Oh, wow. That's all.
That's such a good description.
Like,
I'm totally borrowing that.
Thing ever. So are you ready to perform a song?
Yeah,
for
we're going
to
do a song because we're closing up.
We're
closing out. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry we don't have more time, but I'm going to play a song. This is called Attitude of Gratitude.
I think I named it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Desiree did name this. Totally.
It was a nameless song before. It's an amazing song, and it's all about love and healing and having a good attitude of gratitude.
Absolutely. Awesome. So we'll play this song, and then we'll be out.
Oh, and next up is Ecotopia.
Ecotopia is up next. Elizabeth, do you want to say real quick where people can find you?
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Thank you. Yeah. I've got a website, inneralignmentreiki.com. Also, you can call me, 530-720-6706.
Awesome. And you can find me at www.humanityharmonized.com, or you can look me up on Facebook under Brian Anthony, sound therapist and vocal empowerment coach. If you find Brian Anthony, you'll find me. All right, here we go.
Oh, it's gonna be good.
Yo, I came here tonight to talk about love, and I ain't talking about that watered down mushy stuff that you see pushing up between the cracks of cliches and every single darn pop song we hear today. No, I'm talking about everything from real connections, deep reflections, and all the subtle inflections that get us sit up, stand up, hands up, come on, you know, the kind of stuff that gets us out of a rut. Cause I've witnessed the sickness written in the eyes of our brothers and sisters that have seen the demise of their dreams, but now it's time to revive our wings and open up our hearts and sing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you got something to love, you better be repping it all day long. Keep an attitude of gratitude and you will be stepping in the right direction, even if your reflection is painted with worry and woe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Open up your heart and you will find your way back home. Yeah. Easier said than done, that's what I hear from some when I tell them that it's time to put down the gun and quit chasing our tails while we wallow and wail in our self-imposed jail where we live without bail. And I get it, I've been down inside the depths of the gutter, crawling through the kind of stuff that would make y'all shudder. Luckily, I was granted a moment of clarity when I realized that I'm the one causing despair. See, apparently my mind has this power to change. When you focus on anger, then you're gonna get rage. But when you focus on love, then things open up and suddenly life doesn't seem so rough, huh? Such a simple practice that pays infinite dividends. Give it a try, you just might find yourself lifted and living it. Even on the craziest days, you'll still find a way to give thanks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you got something to love, you better be repping it all day long. Keep an attitude of gratitude and you will be stepping in the right direction, even if your reflection is painted with worry and woe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Open up your heart and you will find your way. This is the age of empowerment, fourth ray flowering, toppling the towers of the horrible establishment. No more ignoring their deplorable acts. We're switching apathy for empathy and taking it back. But it's not just the rallies and the passionate gatherings that are gonna bring us back into a balanced reality. The true revolution will start with those with the brave constitution to fight the foes, manifesting in the testing of their personal destiny. Every solo battle won is humanity's victory. Picture the scene when 7 billion strong conquered their own demons and learn and get along. And it all starts at home with the love that you've grown in your spiritual garden with compassion and hope. Don't let the weeds of fear threaten your harvest. Speaking loud and proud regardless. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you got something to love, you better be repping it all day long. Keep an attitude of gratitude and you will be stepping in the right direction, even if your reflection is painted with worry and woe. Yeah, yeah. Open up your heart and you will find your way back home. Thanks for joining us on Love in the 21st Century today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. And up next, we've got Ecotopia. stay tuned. We really enjoy having you all here. Thanks, Elizabeth. Thank you, Desiree. My name is Brian
Anthony.
Thank
you, Brian.
And we are out.
Thank you, listeners. Love it out. Love it out.
Song about why we shouldn't cut ourselves off from divine energy that surrounds us. Divine energy from the sun, the moon, the stars, trees, crystals, everything around us, our breath. Listen up. We sit around encased in insulated squares, energy deprived, the struggle just to persevere. Told the sun is a danger, be careful, beware. Fallacies dribble from their mouths just to scare. I dare say that the sun, the moon, the earth, and the stars, we're a part of them, we are them, so near and so far. Stimulant central, constant stress and fatigue. What we're doing ain't working, guess we need to rethink and we need to receive. Ha! This energy that we get for free provides all that we see, gives us all that we need, made that possible for you and me.
Come on, come on.
We need to receive. Gives us air that we breathe, the charge to our battery. It puzzles me that you stay distant from life, lowering your vibration, cause us all to lose sight. You need a fight, your default stretch and lay in the sun. Have a moment to reflect on what you have become. Told to consume, for it's the only way to survive. But this is gluttony, no balance, remain energy deprived. Obesity, cancer, poisons, and water and food. Our leaders are cruel, we gotta listen to our inner self say. We need to receive, ha, this energy that we get for free. Provides all that we see, gives us all that we need. Made that possible for you and me.
Come on.
We need to receive this energy that we get for free. Makes the plant come from seed, gives us air that we breathe, the charge to our battery.
Yeah.
We need to receive. It's so simple, yeah. So simple. Now we need to receive. So simple, so simple, so simple, so simple. We need to receive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So simple, so simple, so simple, so simple, so simple, oh, nah, nah, we need to receive, yeah, yeah, get trouble with it. We need to receive, ha, this energy that we get for free. Provides all that we see, gives us all that we need. Made that possible for you and me.
Come on.
We need to receive this energy that we get for free. Makes the plant come from seed, gives us air that we breathe, the charge to our battery. Yeah.
Aloha family, thank you so much for checking out my new video, We Need to Receive. If you enjoy...
This is KZFR FM 90.1, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia.
Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. Charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, or leave me the birds and the bees.
that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam.